We live in tempestuous times. The days in which we live all around us in the events of time, in the events of the world, in the tragedies you read of and hear of, in the political movements, in the wars which occupy so many places in this world, even at this time, whether reported or not reported. In the violence you see upon the streets, in the violent words you hear and read of from many people, there is much hatred, there is much enmity, there is much division. We live in tempestuous times, and we have always lived in tempestuous times, because the tempests come from the sin of man, which rages against his maker and rages against his fellow man, and which kindles the wrath of God from heaven on high. The things we see occur in this world, the earthquakes, the wars, the tragedies, the tsunamis, the famines, are a result of the fall and the sin of man. The hatred, the division, the violence, the warfare are a result of the fall and the sin of man. The tragedies that may come your way and my way, the disappointments, the disasters, the wrongs, the disease, the heartache, the division, all the things that go against you are a result of the fall and the sin of man, are a result of your sin and your rebellion and your hatred of God and men. People cry out that these things are not fair. People complain at their lot and their circumstances. People complain at the tragedies which come about in the world and would seek to blame God for them if they accept there is a God. And they use it as a reason to reject God and to justify their unbelief. And yet it's their deeds, their rebellion, their hearts which bring these sins into being and bring about these disasters. You are guilty of all the tempests you see around you and in you. You have not one claim of innocence, and nor do I. We are all sinners, we have all gone astray, we are all guilty of turning our backs upon God, and as a result, as a consequence, we live in a tempestuous, a wicked, an evil, a dark world in which there is tragedy at the doors of everyone. There are few people in this world who do not see the effects of tragedy in some way or another, even if it only comes down to the loss of loved ones due to death. Even if you're spared the worst of disaster. Even if the murderer doesn't come to your door, or the thief doesn't come to your house, or the worst of disease doesn't strike. Even if you are left to a relatively blissful and calm lifetime, you will still have the tragedy and heartache of seeing loved ones taken from you, of having disease now and then, of having disappointments in life, and having the inward effects of sin upon you. You will die, for your life is brief, because you are a sinner who's gone astray from God. if you do not believe in Almighty God, if you do not follow His Son, Jesus Christ, if you do not worship Him and love Him, you stand before God as a guilty sinner. And when your life comes to a conclusion and you stand before God on that last day, you will have to answer for your disinterest in the gospel, for your unbelief of the gospel, for your rejection of Jesus Christ, for trampling the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot. You will have to answer. I wish to be as direct and pointed as I can be. Whoever you are listening to these words, you stand before God guilty of going astray, of shaking your fist in His face, of rejecting His Son and rejecting His gospel. You've not sought Him as you should. You've not sought to hear His gospel as you should. You've not sought to serve God as you should. You've not given all your strength and all your beings and all your possessions for His service. You've not loved God with all your heart, soul and mind. And you stand before God guilty and condemned, and rightly so. Unless you are brought by His grace and His mercy to hear the gospel and to hear the voice of Jesus Christ in the gospel and to be quickened by the Holy Ghost unto life and given faith to believe on Christ and to be washed in His blood. That's your only hope. Your only hope before God of being delivered from your sin, delivered from your rebellion, delivered from your unbelief in the gospel, delivered from the wrath of God which will surely come upon you, is if God in mercy brings you to hear that gospel and washes you in the blood of His own Son. If God offers up a sacrifice in your place, for the price of your sin and the price of my sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it must die. And left to ourselves before God, we must die to pay the price of our sin. Unless God finds a sacrifice to die in our place. And in the gospel, for His people, He found a sacrifice. He offered His own Son as that sacrifice, and He poured down the wrath of God against the sins of His people upon His own Son. He gave Christ as a sacrifice for sinners. He slew His own Son. He beat and He bruised His own Son for the sins of His people. And He shed the blood of His own Son, that He might wash that people clean and make them to stand before Him in righteousness, perfect before a holy God. Did He offer His Son for you? And have you, by the gospel, seen Him, heard Him, and believed upon Him? If you have, then everlasting salvation, the righteousness of God, an everlasting inheritance awaits. And if you haven't, then you will surely perish in eternity under the wrath of God in hell. That's the reality of where you and I stand this day. We're either in Christ, washed in His blood, or we will perish. And that, in type and figure, is the reality which is presented to us in the account of the prophet Jonah. In the account of the prophet Jonah, where we see a remarkable picture of the gospel and a remarkable presentation of a man who was sacrificed in order that others should live. In Jonah in chapter 1, we read this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Oh, what an account! What an account of the circumstances that came about leading to the sacrifice, as it were, of Jonah. How he was thrown overboard in order to deliver the men upon that ship from the great tempest and certain death that they faced. How the sea was calmed once Jonah, as it were, died for them. How we see a picture of the gospel in that Jonah was swallowed up by that fish and was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And how we see the faith of Jesus Christ in the midst of his suffering, from the belly of this fish, from the belly of hell, when he cried unto his God and worshipped his God and knew that his prayer was heard and cries out, salvation is of the Lord. And as a consequence, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. This remarkable prayer of Jonah's, seen in chapter 2, in which we see in type and figure the words and the heart and the faith and the prayer of Jesus Christ himself, are words which are uttered before Jonah is delivered from the fish. This is not his prayer recorded once he has been saved. It does not say that he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, and then the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground, and then Jonah prayed and concludes, salvation is of the Lord. But this prayer, these words, and this exhibition of his faith in his God are those words he uttered out of the belly of the fish, which in figure is the belly of hell. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. What an insight into the death of Jesus Christ, into the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and into the faith of Jesus Christ as exhibited when in the depth of those sufferings. Jonah as a man had been sent of God to preach the gospel to that great and wicked city Nineveh, but he feared and tried to flee from the presence of God. Here we see the frailty of Jonah as a man. But the circumstances of that brought him upon a ship with these other men, these other heathen men who worshipped other gods than the God of the Hebrews. And his rebellion, his sin, his attempt to flee from the presence of God brought upon them all condemnation, brought a tempest and a storm upon that ship. And as such, they cast lots to see who brought this trouble upon them. And the finger pointed at Jonah. And Jonah had to confess that, yes, He had fled from the presence of God, and this trouble was because of him. I am an Hebrew, he says, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. Now, as a sinner who fled from the presence of the Lord, we see him as a man. Christ himself always did the Lord's bidding. But Christ came as a substitute of sinners. Christ came as God's Son, the perfect, the righteous Son of God, into this world of sinners to bear the sin of his people, to be made sin, to stand in the sinner's place, and to take the judgment that the sinner deserved to suffer. Christ himself didn't flee from the presence of the Lord, but when he came to the cross, the Lord took the rebellion, the hatred, the sin, the unbelief of all his people and laid them upon him. And at that point, Christ stood, as it were, as this Jonah who had sought to flee from the presence of God. He stood as a sinner who, because of his sin and because of his fear of God, had sought to flee from the presence of God. And God's wrath came upon him. The tempest and storms of God came down upon his own son as a consequence, not because of what he had done, but because of what all his people had done and because of what he stood for as their substitute. He stood there as them, and their unbelief and their fleeing from the presence of God and their sin and iniquity, he bore, and God saw, and the wrath of God was kindled from heaven against him. And he, as it were, said unto his people who feared God's wrath and who cry out for mercy, that the storms of God's wrath might be removed from them, for they know they're guilty before a holy God, and they know that they will be lost. And they cry out, What shall we do? How shall we be saved? And Christ, as it were, says unto them, Take me up and cast me into the sea, and the sea shall be calm unto you. If I am slain in thy place, you will be delivered. You will be delivered. Oh, what a substitute Christ was. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Has Christ been taken up for you? Has Christ been thrown into the sea for you? Has the wrath of God, which you felt kindled against your sin, which brought up the storms and the tempests in your soul, has that been calmed because Christ has been plunged into the sea in your place? Do you know that he died for you? Has he died for you? Have you, by faith, as it were, taken him up and cast him into the sea in your place that you might be delivered? Has the sea ceased from her raging? If it has, then you will fear the Lord exceedingly. And you will offer a sacrifice unto the Lord and make vows and serve him and worship him and love him. For you will know his gospel and the power of his gospel. And you will know the love of God in Jesus Christ for your soul. That Christ should be willing to take all your iniquity, all your unbelief, all your sin, and be plunged into the seas of God's wrath in your place. Oh, what a thing for him to do. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. What a place to be. Under the storms of God's wrath. Under the judgment because of the sins of others. What a place to be. Oh, for Christ to take those sins as though they were his. This is the thing about this message of substitution. This is the thing about this account of Jonah. It comes home so close. Christ didn't merely die for the sins of others as though they were something remote from him. As though he paid the price, but there they were over there, the sinners over there, and their sins over there at a distance. Christ's substitutionary death affected him. He bore their sins. And he, as it were, said unto the mariners in the ship, "This has come upon you for my sake. For my sake this great tempest is upon you. This storm has come down because of the sins which I bear. Because of the sin which I made to be. Because of the guilt which I carry." Christ stood as though he was the one who had done this great evil. He owned these sins as his own. He said, "It's just that God should slay me. I'm the guilty one. I'm the sinner." This is why in Gethsemane, when he faced the hour of judgment upon the cross, that he was moved to pray. And sweated, as it were, great drops of blood, because he knew the cup he must drink. And the cup he must drink was not just the wrath of God against sin, but was actually bearing that sin. He who was holy, spotless, without blame, perfect, innocent and righteous, must bear the guilt of his people. He must be made sin. He must bear their iniquity. He must be seen before God as the greatest and worst sinner that ever lived. And that's why God's wrath came down upon him. Oh, what a thing for Christ to bear. How deep are his sufferings. How deep is the well into which he was plunged. How deep is the sea into which he sunk. How great were the storms and the tempests and the winds which blew upon him. How ferocious were the fires of God's wrath which came down into his soul. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Do you have but an inkling of what Christ suffered to deliver his people from their sins? Have you but one grasp of the depths into which he entered to deliver his people? Can you imagine the love he must have that he was willing to suffer this? Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." Afflicted by sin. Afflicted by guilt. Afflicted by condemnation. Afflicted by the wrath of God. and the judgment of God, afflicted by the stripes of the law and the penalty of the law upon his back, afflicted by the sword of justice, afflicted by separation from his Father. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Afflicted by the rejection of all men and God himself. I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. Oh, what a thing for Christ, so far off, so condemned, so afflicted, to cry unto his God and be heard. At the worst point, at his lowest point, at the greatest depth, at the greatest distance from God, still Christ by faith looked unto God's holy temple. Still he looked up to the Father. Still he cried out and believed that his God would hear him, even though he was separated because of sin. Even though he bore the guilt of all his people, even though God's wrath was upon him, still from the belly of hell he cries. And the Lord heard his voice. Oh, what faith. And what faith accomplishes. What a reward for the faith of Christ, that God heard his voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. What a dreadful place to be. What a dreadful place for Jonah. But what a dreadful place for Christ, of whom Jonah is but a picture. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. I am cast out of thy sight. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am cast out of thy sight. Where art thou, my Lord? The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. He was lost. He was sunk. What hope is there in such a place? What hope is there for the soul of a man who's sunk into the depth of hell? Out of the belly of hell, cried I. What hope is there for you, O sinner? How far have you fallen? How far off have you gone? Do you feel cast out of God's sight? Do you feel like the waters of his wrath have compassed you about even into your soul? Do you feel like the depth has closed you about? Do you feel far off from God? Beyond hope? Beyond any remote chance of reconciliation. You're too far gone. You're too wicked. You're too lost. You haven't gone as far as Christ was. You're not as far off as Christ was here. You're not as deep into the depths of condemnation as Christ had fallen here. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, he says. The earth with her bars was about me forever. The bottoms of the mountains. Under the judgment of God. The mountains in the scriptures speak of the meeting place of heaven and earth, of the judgment of God, of his righteousness. We read in the Psalms of his righteousness being as the great mountains. They reach up unto God, up unto eternity, up unto the heavens. And here Christ was, thrown down to the bottoms of the mountains, at the feet of the mountains, under the earth, under judgment, cast down into the depths of the earth, into hell. God's justice, his righteousness had struck out at his Son and cast him as far down as he could go. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Forever. Not only does he speak of the place where he's cast into, but he speaks of the time that he's there for. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He's been cast into hell and there's no escape from hell. Hell is everlasting if you end up as a wicked sinner outside of the mercy of God. If your life ends and you know not Jesus Christ and you know not his forgiveness and you're not washed in his blood, if God's judgment sends you to hell, it's forever, because that's what sin deserves. Judgment forever. And here Jonah feels himself cast down under the earth with her bars forever. The earth has, as it were, grasped him and put him in this jail. In this jail in the depths of the ocean. This jail of the belly of hell forever. When Christ went into the depths of God's judgment, he, as it were, went into an eternal judgment. The eternity of hell, the eternity of the bars of the prison of hell were clasped around him. And he felt himself there forever. Yet even in that place, out of the depths, out of the belly of hell, he cries. And God heard his voice. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. In one verse here we read of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He died under the wrath and the judgment of the righteousness of God. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He was cast into the grave, and the earth with her bars was about him forever. And yet on the third day, after 3 days and 3 nights, the Lord brought up his life from corruption. And Jonah writes this before the fish spat him out upon the dry ground. So certain was his hope, so certain was his knowledge, so sure was his faith, that his prayer unto his God had been heard, that he can even speak before the action has come about of God having brought up his life from corruption already. And when Christ was buried, when Christ was judged upon the cross and went through the hours of darkness at the cross under the wrath of God, when he was in hell, when he was laid in the grave, even at that point he knew his prayer was heard, and he knew that on the third day he would rise again. And he can speak and pray by faith with a sure and certain knowledge that God has and will bring up his life from corruption. What a saviour Christ is. Without this faith, without this knowledge, without this certainty, he could not deliver us from our sins. But Christ was a saviour with an outstretched arm, with the arm of righteousness, could be buried in the belly of hell and yet know that his God would lift him up and deliver him in the end. Because he himself was righteous, though he bore the guilt and corruption of his people. Because he himself was the perfect, innocent Lamb of God who could take that and have that judged and have that burnt up, as it were, in him and come out the other side in himself, perfect and glorious and righteous. All that he was as the Son of God survived all that he suffered upon the cross. And all that we were as sinners, if we died with Christ, was judged and destroyed and taken away in his death. It was blotted out. His blood washed it all away. There was no more to keep us in the grave and nothing to keep Christ in the grave. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. On the third day, he arose from the dead. He arose. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Oh, what hope he had. And oh, what a message there is in this for us. In what do you hope? In what, O sinner, do you trust? Do you look with Christ unto the Lord? Do you look by faith unto the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation? Or do you trust in lying vanities? If you trust in lying vanities, if your hope and trust is in your own strength, your own will, your own works, then you are like those mariners who on that ship in the tempest, who faced certain death, strove to row hard unto the land and could not bring the ship there. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. You can row as hard as you like, my friend. You can be as zealous in religion as you like. You can set your will as firmly as you like to go this way or that way, but you cannot escape the tempest of God's wrath. Your works will not save you. Your religion will not save you. Your zeal or your prayers will not save you. Your church going will not save you. Row as hard as you like, you will be lost. You need, for your Jonah, Jesus Christ, to be sacrificed in your place. And your only hope is if he is. Is if he is. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Your only hope of salvation from the wrath and the tempest of God which is upon you, which is upon you now and will come down with increasing ferocity when the days of your life come to a close. Your only hope of deliverance is if by faith you are brought to spiritually take your Jonah, Jesus Christ, and cast him into the sea on your behalf, that the sea may cease from her rage. If Christ died for you, if he went into the depths for you, then God's wrath will be taken away. It will be quenched. There will be peace. There will be salvation. And you with Jonah will be able to say with a certainty, salvation is of the Lord. For he did it. He did it all. He even gave me the faith to believe on him and to see it and to know it. He did it all. I was rowing hard and I was sinking under the storm. But God came in the gospel and presented unto me his son, my Jonah, cast overboard for my iniquity. This one who went into the belly of hell for me, this Christ, this Jesus, this Saviour, he took him and he slew him because of my sin and my unbelief and my rebellion. I'd sought to flee from the presence of the Lord, but God, by his gospel, brought me nigh again. Has he come unto you in his gospel and shown unto you his son, who out of the belly of hell cried unto his God by faith, and whose voice was heard, and whose life was brought up from corruption, and who was delivered, and delivered with his people, who brought in his people from the dead, who rode into heaven's courts and glory upon a steed, followed by his people, who delivered them and brought them in righteous before a holy God. He who went to the depths of hell and took their sins and cast them into the deepest ocean and cast them out of sight so that he could lead that people into the presence of Almighty God, perfect and holy, washed in his blood, without a spot or a blemish on them, and so that he could say unto his father, behold my bride, whom I loved, whom I gave myself for. He loved me and gave himself for me. He loved the church and gave himself for it. Did Christ love you? Did he give himself for you? Did he go into a great fish for you? Was he cast into the belly of hell for you? Did he deliver you? Did he say, salvation is of the Lord for you? Has he given you the faith to say with him, by certainty, in truth, with a great hope, salvation is of the Lord? Amen. We close by singing hymn number 238.
With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn number 238.